So, all right, returning then to power, authority, freedom, liberty, in the frame of reference, the Orthodox frame of reference. When the Lord said to Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world, this in no way makes him as king or his kingdom indifferent to the plight of the world and of those in it. Quite the contrary. From the Gospel of John, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him it might be saved." So, we could spend a lot of time going through Scripture, seeing portrayed for us how it is that we are meant to be in the world. I'll just kind of trip off phrases. When the Lord said, "Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar, but unto God the things that are God," there's a lifetime contemplation to understand the distinction. Or in the high priestly prayer that the Lord made, and it's recorded in the 17th chapter of John, when he says to his father, he says, "I don't pray for you to take them out of the world." He sends us into the world. Or St. Paul, who gives one of those thorny statements when he says, "Submit to authority." That's a difficult one. And especially the Lord himself when he says, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." We don't have time to explicate each of these and create some coherent Christian political theology. But I just mentioned them to you, you know, to kind of stir your own thinking. I mentioned the apologists, early apologists of the church, St. Justin Martyr, others, who recognized the need to present to the pagan authorities of their times, in rational terms, reasonable terms, why it was that they should not be persecuted, but rather should be welcomed, Christian people. We've also mentioned that although all human beings are made in image and likeness of God, we have this problem, which is that sin has distorted that in us. And one of those places where the distortion touches us quite severely at times is this thing that rises up in us, which is the desire to dominate others. This is the origin of all tyrannies. It is the desire to control others. In fact, I will also say it's the origin of all magic in the world. You say, what? The purposes of magic, if you understand what I mean by magic, I don't mean Penn and Teller, although we could talk about misdirects, but the practice, okay, think Wicca, if you know what I mean, witchcraft, the casting of spells, various things, however you understand that. But magic in all of its manifestations is an attempt by a fearful person to control their environment, to control the powers and the personalities around them. And so if we could just hold our tongue in the right position and stand on our foot in the right way long enough and say a certain incantation, then everything will happen the way we want it. You see, this desire to have things the way we want them. Not just to be left alone, but to make everybody else do what we want. this desire to dominate, which obviously comes from our spiritual enemy, the devil, this gets into our affairs. And as St. Athanasius, or rather St. Augustine, indicates in his City of God, community is the proper form and the final goal of human living together, and charity between men its essential condition. Yet every attempt of human beings to live together in concord seems to be foiled. The structures of communication turn in a grim inevitability into means of domination, sharing into exploitation, concord into conflict. So this effort on the part of human beings to get along is fraught with this difficulty because of the sin that's within us. At the time the United States began as a country, this is not a history lesson you would need, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The vast majority of Orthodox Christians worldwide lived in one of two great empires, either the Ottoman Empire or the Russian Empire. And as you know, the religion of the first was Islam, the religion of the latter was Orthodox Christianity. The first tended at best to tolerate Orthodox Christianity, but more often actively persecuted Orthodox people within its borders, or at least taxed and penalized them in a variety of ways, viewing them as being of a lower class of human being than their Muslim subjects. We might think that this was in antiquity, but I have a dear friend who lives nearby. I'll refer to him as Abdunur, who worked for Saudi Arabian Airlines. He's a Palestinian fellow. While he was in Saudi Arabia, his driver's license was stamped to indicate that he was a Christian, so that it would be sure to be known by the authorities who might ask for his papers that he was a Christian. He told me he paid 3 times the tax. So, this is not just something that went on in the past. But speaking of the past, speaking of the time of the American, of the founding of the United States, this was the situation. The Russian Empire, meanwhile, continued the Byzantine mode of harmony or symphony of church and state, which in practice, as I've said earlier, as often as not led to a meddling by the secular power in affairs of church doctrine and personal conscience. Those of you that know about the old believer schism will know what I'm talking about. That's just one example of where there was a disagreement about certain things like how to cross yourself. I don't even remember how to do it the other way. Anyway. Like this. Two fingers or 3 fingers. Okay, there was a disagreement about this. And there was an attempt on the part of church authorities to correct the Russian practice with the Greek practice of the time. Later, scholars found out that actually the Russian practice was closer to the original Greek practice, and it was the Greeks who had changed. Do you touch the ground and cross yourself, or do you cross yourself and touch the ground? You know what? God doesn't care, and I don't care, but there are people who care. And when they care sufficiently, then they want everybody else to care. And so what happened was, it would have been okay if it had remained a church matter. But the state got involved, the authority of the secular power got involved, and the next thing you know, people who were what we call old believers, Raskolniki, which actually means rebellious people, got sent into exile. So you realize that's where our English word rascal comes from? Yeah, it's the same word, Raskolniki. Okay, so I always loved the little rascals. All right, so as I've said, when the secular power gets involved in matters of doctrine and conscience, it really tends to cause trouble, whether they're trying to suppress it or whether they're trying to encourage it. It's not their business. These two empires, though vastly different in many ways and creating vastly different circumstances for people of Orthodox faith, nevertheless had one thing in common. Both empires embraced the autocratic or absolute rule of a sovereign who was himself, not accountable to the law which governed the people. The king was the law. The king made the law. Nor was he accountable to the populace which he ruled. Each ruler was accountable only to God and conscience, according to their personal convictions or their personal caprices, as the case may be. We can think of an English example, right? The famous Henry VIII, who had enough power to not only change his queen, but to change his church and to make himself head of it. This was the result of the practice of absolutism. At the time, it wasn't strange. It was the vast majority of people on the globe, Christian, non-Christian, European, Asian, African, wherever they were. This was kind of the way things went. Okay, with a few notable exceptions from time to time, place to place.